victory is out. Oh my. Then then the psalm before that said, nothing is impossible. I believe. And that just fits right in with our message for today. Those kind of declarative statements about every victory is ours.
Yes.
And that we believe. We're going to examine that a little bit more today. Our topic today is faith in a rhema word. Mm-hmm. Faith in a rhema word. I was listening to Keith Moore a month or two ago, I guess. He was at Kenneth Copeland's 2021 Southwest Believers Conference. And he was talking along these lines, but the Holy Spirit just downloaded this word into my spirit about the necessity of having faith in a rhema word. Now, that's juxtaposed to having faith in a logos word. So we can have faith in a rhema word. We can have faith in a logos word. And those logos and rhema, those are Greek words. And logos means a thought, a reasoning, or a motive. Rhema comes from the Greek word rhema, which means to flow. So logos is a static thought, reasoning, or motive. Rhema is a flowing concept or a flowing energy, if you will. 2 Corinthians 3:6, and I think those of you on Zoom, you might have some of these scriptures, but 2 Corinthians 3:6, and I'm going to read it. I wrote it down on my notes. You might want to read it in your Bible or on your phone or whatever to make sure that I'm reading it right. Mm-hmm. Nearly 50 years ago, Holy Spirit told me to always have my Bible open reading when somebody was reading to make sure they were reading it right. And even as a young Christian, I was amazed at the number of times that I was listening to preaching and the preacher was saying such and such a verse says this, and I'm reading and I'm looking at it and said, no, it doesn't say that. And that was even as a young Christian. So I've been in the habit of reading for myself. 2 Corinthians 3:6, talking about Jesus, this verse says, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. Now here, and give you a little more Greek, and then we're going to be done with the Greek. But here, letter is the word grammar, from which we get the English word grandma. But grammar, and it means a bill, a learning, a letter, or a scripture. Here, the word spirit means pneuma, from which we get words like pneumatic. You got pneumatic tubes, they can do 50 times more than you can do in your own hand power. But pneuma means a current of air, a breath, or a breeze. So in 2 Corinthians 3:6, it said the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. Now, some people will say, Dan, all of the word of God is anointed, whether it's logos or whether it's rhema, it's all anointed. And that is true. That is true. The Holy Spirit, I was driving to Charlotte to my youngest son's birthday dinner, and the Holy Spirit gave me a little analogy about explaining the difference of logos and rhema. Since all of the word is anointed, the logos word is anointed, the rhema word is anointed. But so the logos word could be like a stick of dynamite, right? Logos word is a stick of dynamite. A rhema word is a stick of dynamite with the fuse lit. And you see when that fire comes down that fuse and gets down after that dynamite, something's going to break loose. That's the difference in a logos and a rhema word. It's all anointed, but the rhema is alive, right? Genesis 2:7. We'll look at a concept here of something that's a viable being, but not alive. Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man, talking about Adam, and Eve was in him when he formed Adam. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So before God breathed into his nostrils, he was just a ball of dust. When God breathed into his nostrils, then he became a living being. And so that ball of dust could be like the logos, right? But that living being would be like the rhema, right? It's alive, right? 40 years ago, I heard Dr. Frederick K.C. Price explained it this way, using an analogy about a pay telephone. And for those of you under 40, I have to tell you about the telephone booth. It was about 3 feet by 3 feet and 8 feet tall. That's where Superman would go in and put on his costume, is in the telephone booth. But Fred Price is saying that it's like when you put your coin into the slot, that's like the word coming into your head, right? But Fred said that coin would go down in there, and some of you might remember when that coin was a quarter. But I'm 70, I remember when it was a dime. I'm 70. When it was a dime, you could get a phone call. But he said you put that coin in there in the slot and go ding, 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 ding. And then it would get to the heart of the machine, you get the dial tone. See, when you put the coin in up here, that got it in your head, that's logos. But then when it make it down into your heart, you got rain. Is that all right, Evangelist Philip? We doing okay? All right. Hebrews 11:1. We've all heard it at least 1,000 times. Starts out, says, now faith. No wonder why that word now there. It could have said yesterday faith. Or it could have said tomorrow faith. But it didn't. It says now faith. You see, God is outside of time and space, right? So the only time we connect with God is now. We can't connect with God yesterday. We may have connected with him yesterday, but once it's today, we can't connect with him yesterday. We have to meet him in the now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so the working of faith, we must have the evidence in our heart. And before we get the evidence in our hearts, we won't see the manifestations in our hands. There's a classic salvation scripture that we used to always reference talking about salvation. That's Romans 9 and 10. Romans 10, 9 and 10. And it says, for we confess with our mouth salvation, but we believe in our heart. But Romans 10, 10 really gets to the crux of it. And I saw it even in a different light just this morning. It says, with the heart, one believes unto righteousness. Didn't say with the head, one believes unto righteousness. It said with the heart, one believes unto the right. Didn't say with one's eyes, he or she believes unto righteousness, but with the heart. And so the key here is about the heart. And that's the difference in a rhema word and a logos word. The logos word is in our head. The rhema word is in our heart. And when we get faith in a rhema word, now something can happen. Too many Christians live beneath our privileges as sons and daughters of the true and living God, the King of Kings. Too many die and go to heaven prematurely. I think of one of my classmates at Harris Bible College. I'm still convinced that even though he was about 7 years older than me, he should still be alive today and right up in here worshiping with us right now. but I leave that alone. As his children, we have our inheritance in his kingdom. In heaven, there is no sin, sickness, and disease. In Christ, there is no sin, sickness, and disease. Dan, what are you talking about? We see sin, sickness, and disease among us. Why is there sin, sickness, and disease among Christians? See, those of you who know me know that I'll ask such things, right? Yeah, I ain't afraid to ask it, right? And I ain't afraid of emails and phone calls. But too many Christians have faith in the letter and not the rhema word of God. Too many of us are living in the dust rather than flying in the breeze. The dust is for Satan, for the serpent. See, God destined that the serpent would be in the dust. We're not to be in the dust. We're supposed to be flying in the breeze like eagles, right? And it takes a rhema word to fly in the breeze. It takes believing in the heart. Part of why so many Christians live beneath the privilege is, as Arthur Menchez says, one of the Bible, Harris Bible College instructors, he says, the gospel has not been preached. When he first heard that, I said, what is he talking about? But I came to understand what he meant. The gospel of salvation, especially in the West, has been preached. But the gospel of sozo has not been preached. And sozo is a Greek word that's translated, means saved, healed, delivered, prospered, and protection. And you know, there was a time we would go to Strong's Concordance to look up there, but now we just go to Google. And Google says sozo is used in the New Testament 100 times to refer to the complete package of salvation, deliverance, and healing. That's according to Google. Does that help some of y'all matter? That Google said, right? Hebrews 11:1, again, I read a moment ago. But I'm just referring to it now. But faith is what we see or picture in our imaginations, in our hearts. It's the evidence that's in our hearts before we receive the things in our hands. Abraham is one of the greatest examples of faith in the Bible. I love it. Romans 4:19 through 21, and I read, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. That means he couldn't have had a child with no one, not just Sarah. And not considering the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced, in the New King James, the old King James said persuaded. I love that term, being fully persuaded. Because if you're not fully persuaded, then you're not persuaded at all. Being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he, God, was also able to perform. Brother James, Apostle James, breaks it down this way. And I guess I must be more like James than some folks. Because here's what James said in James 1:6-8. He said, but let him, talking about you and me, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting. How much doubting? With no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now that sounds like me now talking. The double-minded man will receive nothing from God. The fully persuaded person will receive the victory that he or she has pictured in their imagination and in their heart. Which is better, to be driven and tossed by the wind, or to soar like eagles on the carriage of the wind? That's a major difference. Driven and tossed by the wind, or soaring like eagles on the carriage of the wind. Mm-hmm. To soar as eagles, we must have faith in the rhema word. How do we get a rhema word? How do you get a rhema word? 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for all of the promises of God, not half of them, not three quarters of them, for all of the promises of God in him, not in Walmart, not down at the beach.
Amen.
For all of the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us, just as Abraham glorified God. To get a rhema word, we must abide in him. How many of you remember as baby Christians that life was like a ride on a magical carpet, when his grace was ever so abundant and abounding around and upon us? That was because our minds and hearts were pervaded by his presence. Nearly every thought and word we spoke was about God. Isaiah 26a says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you.
Yes.
I've tested this scripture before and found it to be true. There was something one time trying to trouble me and get me to worry about it. And I said, no, I'm going to keep my mind stayed on God. I refused to think about that other thing. And as I kept my mind focused on God, I stayed in perfect peace. And Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. And so anytime we have a disturbing thought or situation to arise, we've got to do what 2 Corinthians say, bring that thought or whatever it is into captivity to the spirit of Christ. And we do that until the peace returns in our heart.
Yes.
Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your heart. If your peace is disturbed, you've got to go and get a word from God and meditate on it and really, I just thought about it, until it becomes rhema again.
Yes.
For you, and
yes,
then it restores the peace in your heart. There are some people, as have I, who have experienced rhema word as we're just reading the Bible, and it's just like it just explodes on the page. Some people say it looks like it's ringed by fire, and it just becomes alive in their heart and their being. Evangelist Philip, who's with us this morning, he's a missionary to Nepal. And he's been there, what, two times, three times, whatever? How many times? Twice. And it was on your last trip that you gave the prophetic word about the childless couple? Or was that your first trip? Second trip there, Holy Spirit gave him a prophetic word. And that prophetic word was that a childless couple would have a child. And later on, a couple went to their pastor, having heard that prophetic word, and said, we believe that's us. And it was less than a year later, what was it, about 10 months later, they sent him a picture of them and the baby, because they had a rhema word that ignited in their heart. And it's manifested with them having a child. I've got that picture of that couple and the child on my phone. They sent Philip the picture and he shared it with me. He likes to inspire me.
Yes.
with some of his adventures that he has.
What? It's a child.
In my personal experience, 7 years ago, the oncologist said I had 4-stage non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And there was a mass in my back, that mass had ruptured my L2, which then caused me to wreck my motorcycle. And when I woke up in the hospital, they said, you got a broken left shoulder, broken left ankle, and your L2 has been ruptured by this mass. Dr. Redding, when he did the fusion in my back, took out 80% of that mass. And I agreed to do 2 rounds of R-CHOP chemo while I was in the hospital. But Prophet Robert Greason, who's on Zoom with us today, decided to visit me. This accident happened to me over in Charlotte. So one day Robert rode over from Raleigh, and he said he asked the Holy Spirit to give him a word for me. And I said he was just worshiping the Lord, and I also laid the Lord. I said, well, here's that word. And he said it caught him by surprise. He'd forgotten about it. He'd gotten caught up in his worship. And that word was about the mustard seed. I'll tell you what that word was, but let me tell you how Robert had to tell me. Robert came in to visit me. I was there with my oldest son in his living room. They made a little makeshift bed for me in his living room. And Robert came in and said hello or something like that. And I said to him, because I knew it, I said, I don't think I even said hello, but I remember saying, you have a word for me, what is it? Now I knew that Robert is an established prophet. I knew if he drove 200 miles, he would have to have a word for me. I mean, if prophets have words, so he's got to have a word for me. So he said, hello. I said, I know you have a word for me. What is it? And so he began to share the word. And the word was about the mustard seeds. And every one of us in here have heard any number of sermons about the significance of Jesus talking about the mustard seed those 3 or 4 times was that its small size, it became a tree. But the Holy Spirit told Robert, no, that's not correct. What's significant about the mustard seed is in its DNA is a picture of it becoming a tree. It sees that picture and only that picture, and it becomes what it sees. Now, Robert shared that word with me, and instantly out of my mouth, I said, chemo fits into the wrong part of John 10:10. Robert said what he said, I said that. But in that split second, there was a lot more that happened. In my heart, Holy Spirit quickened John 10:10.
Yes.
Now, you ain't gonna figure this out with your mind, because this is not logic, this is not mental, this is spiritual. Robert said about the mustard seed, in my heart, I got revelation of John 10:10, where Jesus said, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come to give you life and it more abundantly. Robert said about the mustard seed, I said, chemo fits into the wrong part of 10:10. What else had happened? My heart informed my mind that I wasn't going to do those 4 more rounds of chemo. 2 rounds of chemo, I lost 50 pounds. I'm down to about 135. Mm-hmm. 4 more rounds, I've been down about 15 pounds. But then after they finished the chemo, they wanted to do radiation. And then after they finished the radiation, they wanted to do bone marrow transplant. But I thank God, again, you heard me right a minute ago, my heart informed my mind that I was not going to do more chemo, I wasn't going to do radiation, I wasn't going to do bone marrow transplant. So there was nothing for me to decide or figure out or whatever. It was settled in my mind. And that's an illustration really about just getting a rhema word. And that's what I had. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man, talking about the natural mind, the carnal mind, but the natural mind does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. That's a mouthful in that verse there. For the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So, again, we want to have faith in the rhema word. We want to position ourselves in his presence so that his word moves from being logos in our heads and becomes rhema in our hearts. I just thank God 7 years ago that Prophet Robert was obedient and would come and visit me, but that he would ask and receive a word from God, and that word became rhema in my heart. He created rhema in my heart. And I could walk away from a literal death sentence.
Yes.
And try this on, because I was actually willing to die. Because I said in my mind, either the word of God is true or it ain't. But even if it ain't, I'm gonna trust his word. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Hebrew boy said. The Nebuchadnezzar kept giving them chances to bow down. And they said, well, king, now don't get it twisted. We're not going to bow down to your image. Our God is able to deliver us from your fire. But even if he does not, even if he doesn't deliver, we're not going to bow down to your image. And that's like Esther, when she was, Mordecai was explaining to her that she was a Jew too, and if she didn't go in there and get right with the king, she was going to die too. And so she said, if I perish, I'm going in to see the king. My mom in the choir used to sing a song, if I perish, let me perish, I'm going to see the king. Faith in a rhema word. Faith in a rhema word. Not a logos word, but a rhema word, a word that's flowing, a word that's alive. A word like that stick of dynamite that has the fuse lit. You know, dynamite can sit in a box for 50 years. And if you don't put a fire to it, it's just gonna sit there. But when you light the fuse, you can blow something up.
Yes. Yes.
Evangelist Phil said, let's light some fuses.
Yes.
And that's what he did. He was at work about 3 or 4 years ago, and a guy, co-worker from DePaul, asked him one day, and Philip had been challenging God anyway to make his word true in his life. And so the guy from DePaul said, well, will you go to Nepal and minister? Philip said, yeah, I'll go. And then he said, a little while later, wondering, why did I say that? But he went. God provided finances, opened doors with visas and all that kind of stuff, and got him into Nepal. And he's still actively ministering in Nepal. But Pastor Dale and Pastor Cherie, they're missionaries. They go down into the islands or whatever. I'm waiting to hear a report when they're going to raise somebody from the dead, but ain't nobody died on them yet. So one of them took somebody right up and died. And now we're going to see what happens.
That's right.
But faith in the rhema word, I apologize for us getting started late. I was looking at the clock wrong this morning. Left home late, and I apologize to Christina that she had to do a new hookup here today. We had to get another HDMI cord and hook it from the laptop all the way over here to the TV. And you people on Zoom, we trust that you had a better experience today, that things were live just as they were when Pastor Ernestine was broadcasting from her house. We thank everyone who came here today, and we thank everyone who's on Zoom. And Pastor Ernestine just disappeared out the back. So we'll just ask for prayer requests. Who has prayer requests?
Um,
Brother Dale, you got a piece of paper to write down these prayer requests so you can pray?
I've got one.
I got paper.
What we got anything on Zoom?
I'm waiting on, I've asked on Zoom, but while we're waiting, I have one. My Uncle Eddie is in the hospital with COVID and pneumonia, or pneumonia caused by COVID, but we have a group message going on with all of our family from all over the United States in prayer for him. So my prayer request is actually for my cousin, Nick, who is his son, who is struggling. The anniversary of his brother's death is coming up. My Uncle Eddie's other son passed away from cancer last year. And Nick is having a very difficult time. I don't know his state of belief. He lives across the country from me. And you know, when your cousins and the different age groups know each other better. But I do know he's angry. He's processing, he's in a state. So my prayer is actually for him. I know that my uncle's already healed. We're just waiting for it to show up in the natural. We've got, my family may be a little goofy, but when we come together in prayer, we make things happen.
Praise God.
So I know that God is doing that. What I'm praying for is for Nick's heart to be touched by what God does in his dad through this, and that his heart be saved, that his heart be changed and his life take a new direction and he'd be filled with that peace and that joy.
Nick,
so I'm just praying
to drawn to the Lord.
Yes.
Sister from Goldsboro, do you have any prayer requests?
I started a new job recently, and
what's your name?
Eve.
Mm-hmm. That's easy to remember. So new job.
Mm-hmm. So it's a bit challenging, and I once watched Andrew say that he got into photography that he didn't know anything about. By the time he left that job, they were begging him to stay, but he was sort of saying that the Holy Spirit led him so much that he was the best there was at this job, but he went into it without any knowledge.
Holy Spirit taught him new technology that the owner wasn't even using.
Right, yes.
So there's a scripture that Holy Spirit quickened in my heart 40 years ago. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And I just happen to believe that.
Yeah.
I'll do electrical work, plumbing work.
Surgery.
Septic tank work. Huh?
That's a surgery.
If I had to, I'd do that. If that happened, I'd apologize to my patient afterwards. Any more prayer? Because how's Brother Wayne doing with your barber with the prostate cancer thing? We'll pray for him. We prayed for him the other Sunday here. Yes, ma'am.
For Christmas, my stepmom had surgery on Friday. It's her second round of cancer. She is a believer. And the results for what they took out, she'll get those on Thursday. Just that she was staying the peace of God, and it fear to continuously resist the fear.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Brother Dale, of course, knows her, and he's already been praying for her. Any more prayer requests? You see any on Zoom? Evangelist Philip, yes, sir.
A friend of mine and his wife both had COVID. And she passed away last Thursday. He came out of the hospital maybe Sunday or Monday. Brother needs a lot of prayers.
You want to tell us his name?
His name is Sam.
Pastor
Sam Antu.
So now he has a loss of a wife.
Yeah.
Okay. Christine, we see anything on Zoom, and we'll get it. If not, then Brother Dale will come and pray. And then Brother Dale, if you would give us a benediction, and we'll be set. If we meet again.
I have a prayer request. Yes, I do.
someone said, praise the Lord anyhow. Just serve a risen Savior. Our God is not dead, but alive. Is there anybody out there? Are you dead or alive? I know I ain't talking just to the Zoom folks, but I can't hear any response. I know there's some people here, and I said that our God is not dead, he's alive.
He's alive.
Yes, he is.
And the word of God tells us that, you know, we should come before God and pray.
Yes.
And we should have expectation. That the word of God came to us already is faith is now. So we must believe. And the scripture says if two of us shall touch and agree concerning anything upon the earth, it shall be done unto us. So I just want to, we come into agreement with these prayer requests, and let us believe that our great God and Savior will move on these behalf, on these requests, and touch these people's lives and bring hope, bring understanding, bring relief and peace to their situation. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we just honor you and we thank you that we can come boldly before your throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of needs. Father, all the requests that has been announced, we just recite them back to you. Father, we pray for this young man, Nick, as he's struggling, Father God, concerning the death of a loved one. We just ask, Father God, that